96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. Mistrial in the first, Freddie Gray trial. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. What happened and what's next in the Freddie Gray case? We have a panel of experts tonight to talk about this. They are Bobby Henry, criminal defense attorney, Tamika Jones, also a criminal defense attorney, Mark Steiner, host of The Mark Steiner Show on WEAA Radio in Baltimore, and Dr. Jamal Bryan, political activist and pastor of the Empowerment Temple AME Church in Baltimore. Lines are open if you want to talk about this. Questions, comments, definitely want to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Thank you all for participating in this conversation. Let me go right to Mark Steiner. Surprised or not surprised, Mark, about the hung jury?
Not surprised at all. This is a very tough case from the beginning. They had a lot to prove here. It was not a slam dunk case. I think when I knew that the defense attorneys were putting Officer Porter on stand, I knew they would have a key role in this because the jury is mostly middle class and also mixed black and white. And I bet you when you look at the breakdown of who voted for what and who felt guilty or not guilty in this case, you're going to find a broke down on class and racial lines. I was not surprised at all. This was, and among all the officers, this was the weakest of the cases, I think.
Do you think Porter was overcharged?
Yes.
Why?
I think just looking at people who watch the trial every day, people have been on my program, the manslaughter charge was the toughest charge, I think, for people to get their hands around with Porter. It may not be one of the other officers, but with Porter, I think it was tough for people to put their hands around that particular charge.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask my attorneys here in the studio with me. Tamika, first, was he overcharged? What do you think?
I agree. I do think he was overcharged. I mean, all he did was, he was the one that didn't secure Gray into the back of the police van, and he didn't call for help when he found out that Gray was asking for a medic. So I think at best it was, you know, maybe the reckless endangerment, maybe the misconduct in office, but I do agree that the manslaughter was a hard reach.
What about you, Bobby?
It was a reach to charge him with the manslaughter because of the very, very high standard. You had to prove that he acted with reckless and wanton disregard for the life of another human being. And you also had to show that he, in fact, that his conduct, he thought, or his conduct should have or could have led to that particular outcome. In other words, he had to know that he would get killed. And the prosecution never really got over that hurdle. They never were able to show, okay, if Freddie Gray had gone to the hospital, could he have been saved? Because, you know, the examiner indicated that, well, you know, was it 1 minute after he was back there and he took the fall that he died, or was it 28 minutes? Well, if it was 1 minute, you never could have gotten him to the hospital.
But see, here's the thing, and I want Pastor Bryant to comment on, because obviously we've got a lot of legal issues here, but when you talk about the common sense, what happened was, that is, Freddie Gray woke up that morning and he was healthy. After interacting with the police, he was on death's door, and this officer was one of six who was involved in that. Pastor Bryan, is that too much sense to you?
Oh, no. I think it is a consistent pattern, and I think that's why you're finding really the pause in Baltimore, because none of us really are in shock therapy about what's taking place. We're really just holding our breath, waiting to see how it's going to pan out. But again, the instance that I always raise is if we watched Eric Gardner die on video and nobody go to jail, it can't really be surprised when we still don't know what happened when he got in that police vehicle. And so it's almost like Groundhog's Day. We keep reliving the same thing over and over again. But we're really hoping and expecting that the justice system is really going to rise to the occasion, and we've not seen it happen yet.
Mark Steiner, what do you think about what the mayor and the police commissioner said today? They stepped forward, had a short press conference saying that, yes, we will accept protesting, but rioting and damage to life and limb will not be tolerated. Do you think that Baltimore is ready in the event that things get ugly?
You know, let me just say this. I think that the mayor and the police commission are very worried for lots of different reasons around this issue. But I think the way they're playing their hand here is totally politically backwards. There's no indication that these young people who've been in the community members are out there to run through the streets and tear up stores and start fires. They are upset. And today you saw them out there. They were protesting peacefully. Two people were arrested. I think they shouldn't have been arrested. And I think that sometimes the presence of the police in riot gear waiting is as much a provocation as anything else. And I think they were so nervous and worried because of what happened last time that they're overplaying their hand a little bit on this one this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I was really kind of appalled when I saw all the police lining up in Druid Hill Park waiting. Well, I think that, again, is like a little bit of a provocation. There's no indication that people are going to go running amok through the streets. People are upset in Baltimore,
Pastor,
about the death of Freddie Gray. But I think that they, as I said, overplayed their hand.
Pastor Bryant, this spring I was at Empowerment Temple AME in Baltimore when we were covering this issue. And your church was holding training for civil disobedience with your finger on the pulse of the community in Baltimore now. What are you hearing, if anything, about?
Tonight, I'm just walking away moments ago. Those of you listeners who are on Periscope, if you'll follow me at Jamal H. Bryant, I just Periscoped a demonstration, the Interfaith Alliance of all different churches, black, white, Latino, Asian, on the corner of North and Penn, scores of us out there praying the prayer of serenity. And across the street were about seven who were calling for violence, but they were quickly quelled from the overwhelming mass who were praying for peace to take place.
Mm-hmm.
I went from there and went to Gilmore Homes, which is the neighborhood that Freddie Gray lived and died in. And no incident. Everything was quiet. I went to City Hall, and there were more Caucasian protesters than there were black, and they were all peaceful. I went outside the courthouse, and the police have really locked it down like Fort Knox.
Yeah.
And so I think that people are really in a peaceable place on tonight. Kids got school on tomorrow. The weather is dropping. And I really don't feel as if there's going to be any real provocation on this evening.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a special edition of the Daily Drum, a mistrial in the first Freddie Gray trial. Let me go to Ray, calling from Southeast D.C. Ray, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
It's sad that I'm a black father with a 21-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad that those pastors and those churches, all y'all keep talking about is peace. Well, we want to be peaceful, but in the same token, where's that getting us? Where is it that the police that's supposed to, that we pay our taxes, I work hard every day, pay your taxes for the police to protect and serve, but yet six police has taken a young brother into custody, and he died. And then all of a sudden, everybody trying to question, well, if I took him to the doctor in a minute, if I took him to the doctor in 28 minutes, will he survive, will he not? No, he shouldn't have been home, period. So when is it going to be that when the person goes to custody of a police, he shouldn't be dead, and the police shouldn't be quick to shoot someone.
Well, that, Ray, let me ask Pastor Bryant about that, because I think that is a legitimate concern. Pastor Bryant, we have heard publicly, we have heard privately, every time there is a Black Lives Matter situation, whether it's in Baltimore or Ferguson or New York, the pastors show up, they hit the microphones, and they have a press conference. But for the black folks that are on Main Street that are concerned, just as this young man is concerned, how do you address that anger and that frustration?
I think that not being reactionary. What he didn't say is what has happened in between the press conferences that haven't warranted any press. So since that has happened, we opened up the Freddie Gray Youth Empowerment Center, getting 500 kids a day, that we're doing after-school tutorial, SAT prep classes, that we've been doing job training, that just after the uprising, we sent 50 kids from the community to HBCUs on full scholarship. And so just because it's not seen doesn't mean it's not being done.
Okay.
But I think that we have a responsibility. I am, in fact, an advocate of nonviolence and redress. I also serve on the commission that recommended to the mayor for body cameras to be there. And I was a part of all of the protests that the young people have done. So I think it's Monday morning quarterbacking to say what we are doing if you're just watching the highlight clips, but you're not watching the full game.
Okay, thank you.
We've been really entrenched in the community, not just on today.
Let me go back to my legal experts here, and I'll start with Bobby Henry. What do you believe happened in the courtroom that really prevented, or jury room, that prevented the jurors from coming to a verdict? Because, of course, it was a hung jury, deadlocked. They said it twice. They said it yesterday and they said it today. One person I heard on the street suggested that the defense was able to humanize William Porter. Your thoughts about that?
That's exactly correct. They showed that Porter was known in the community. It showed that Porter was concerned about Freddie Gray, in that he asked him if he wanted to go to the hospital. And that's when Freddie Gray says yes, that he would like to go to the hospital. But in that particular jury room, the standard was so high. The beyond a reasonable doubt standard is the highest standard in our legal system. And there was no way, with the way this case was charged, that they were going to get over that hurdle. And unfortunately, inside that jury room was a microcosm of Baltimore City. That is Black, white, you know, male, female, everybody. It was a cross section. They brought their own personal prejudices to that particular incident. So you had people in there who said, hey, this guy died in the custody of police officers, just like our caller said, and somebody needs to be held accountable. But then you have other people in that same jury room who simply said, well, wait a minute, we have to slow down. What does the law say? What are the facts in this particular case? Because they can't use any other evidence. I mean, they can't use any other information other than the evidence that is presented in that particular courtroom, applying the law to that situation.
Tamika, before I go to you, because we're about to lose Mark Steiner in a few minutes, and I want to make sure that he gets a last word in before we let him go. Mark, overall, yeah, what do you believe we, Baltimore, the community there, is learning or can learn from today? Or is the lesson not until there's a second trial?
One of the most important things that came out of this trial and what people learned is that the police department is badly in need of reform. When you have police officers getting up testifying for Officer Porter, officers, a colonel and a captain, saying that, well, we have these rules, but you don't always have to follow them. And I think that it showed dysfunction and systemic problems inside the police. That's one of the biggest things we saw here. I think that these trials and this trial are going to end up showing a way for us to change things in Baltimore. People are awake. That to me was really glaring here. And I think that there are so many instances that have happened in the city of Baltimore. The city of Baltimore has paid out millions and millions of dollars in brutality cases. Millions of dollars in brutality cases.
That's true.
And this was just kind of this is the one that broke the camel's back because of what happened, because we saw the video. But I think this could lead to real reform on the positive end. And I think you'll see some of that coming to fore, especially in this election season. I just want to say, Harold, I deeply appreciate you asking me to be on the show. Look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. Certainly an honor to have you on the program, Mark. We'll talk soon. I need to take a break. When we come back, more from our panel about this very first Freddie Gray trial. What happened in the courtroom? What happened in the jury room? I'm going to ask my legal experts. And what does this mean for the community? We want to hear from you as well. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lines are open. We want to hear from you. Stay with us. You will be able to hear the program as the Daily Drum continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds on Sirius XM Channel 141.
The Howard University Radio Network.